Why did I put 0.0?
Because...
Idiot.
Stupid idiot.
3, 2, 1, countdown! Shit!
Lights, camera, action!
It's the Month of Movies podcast for the month of November 2015. I'm Scott.
I'm Jason.
And what we're doing is, I have a deck of cards with the 52 worst movies of all time. I'm trying to watch those this year and talk about those.
Whoops. I was just showing you my fortune cookie.
Tonight will be a lucky night because we're getting the podcast recorded. And you are watching?
I'm watching a bunch of box sets that I bought that I haven't watched since I bought them, like collections of movies. And yeah, I have a lot of collections of movies I haven't watched.
I just bought one because I couldn't fucking find one of these movies anywhere. So I got to fucking buy a movie.
Collection?
I bought a collection because it was on it.
Yeah.
So, I'm not going to watch those all.
But, I mean, some of these collections aren't that big. Like, one of them I watched this month was only 3 movies, so...
The one I got is 10. And if it's... Yeah, anyways. So I watched my worst movies. Jason's watching his collections. And then whatever movies we watch during that month as well, we talk about. I have a few more than him, so I'm going to start... we start off with a bang. Striptease. Many years ago, when Demi Moore was an actress who was in a lot of things, and then I think what happened was she realized her career was going down the tubes, and like, everyone always wants to see Demi Moore nude, right?
Yeah.
Let's put her in this movie where she's a stripper. Fuck them, is what I say. Okay, so here's what the plot is of the movie is. She's like a secretary for the FBI or something like that. She ends up losing her job because her husband is a criminal. Right? That doesn't make any sense. Well, I should say ex-husband is a criminal. So she loses custody of her kid to her ex-husband, who's played by T-1000, Robert Patrick. But it's like, first of all, one, why would they say, oh, this guy's a criminal? He got you fired, but he's more adept to raising your child. Okay, whatever. So immediately, she's like, it cuts to... Well, I just have to strip for a few more weeks, and then I can go back to court for this whole thing. And I'm like, oh, so she's just like, I need to make money. I work for the FBI. Fuck it. Stripping's going to be the easiest thing. So she goes...
Works for college kids.
Yeah, and apparently 40-year-old has-beens. Right, Kat? So the plot is... Here's where the plot kicks in. She's trying to find ways to keep custody of her kid. And Burt Reynolds... is in this movie, shows up, and he's a congressman type guy. I can't remember who he was, senator, I don't know. But he's married, so he's sneaking into these strip clubs, and he falls in love with Demi Moore's character. And he's like, I need to get her, I love her so much. Ends up getting into a fight with some other guy, because everyone's obsessed with her, apparently. And so like, oh, we need to, this government guy's causing a ruckus and we're gonna lose the investors. So the investors, instead of like these people are like, instead of making the investors look bad, they hire these hitmen to take out Burt Reynolds, and she gets wrapped up in the whole thing. I can't even say enough about this movie. Like, the plot was shit. The movie was garbage. It was slow as fuck. It was 2 hours long, and I mean, I'm a straight man. But the movie could have used less stripping. Honestly, it's like, yeah, okay, just get... the plot could have been wrapped up in an hour. Honestly. And the jokes were so fucking... Like, the jokes felt like they were shitty enough for a 10-year-old to like. But there's boobs, so you can't... I don't know. Fucking, it was weird. Because at one point, Robert Patrick is all, like, doped up on tranquilizers. And he's like, and he's in a sugar factory. He's like, I need to get some coffee. And he pushes a button on the fucking, like, this thing that just drops all this sugar. And he's like, whoops. I'm like, this isn't meant for people that are over 18 at all. Like, it just...
Okay, my question is, what's better, striptease or showgirls?
Showgirls.
Oh, God.
Actually, I don't know if I should say that, because I don't know if I rated it which one worse. I don't know what I rated Showgirls. Sorry.
Whenever I have movies like that that are similar, I always compare the scores before I finalize them.
Shit, what did I give? What month was that?
I don't know.
Fuck.
I keep track of mine. I don't know what you do with your stuff.
Yes! I gave Showgirls a higher score. I gave it a 3. And I gave Striptease a 2.5.
Oh, Jesus. Not yeah. by much, Kat.
No, but at least I was right. Oh, shit.
I was going to say, or is hindsight 2020?
I don't know. It's, yeah, I don't know. The women were at least more, I don't know, they're bitchy in Showgirls, but at least they didn't seem like stripper characters.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Dancers.
Stereotypes.
No, because what was his name? Ving Rhames, the guy who played Kingpin.
Mm-hmm.
He was in the movie as a security guard.
Oh, sorry, that Kingpin.
Oh yeah, not the Daredevil movie with Ben Affleck, yeah. That shitty one. He played the bouncer,
mm-hmm.
and that was like his trigger. They set up numerous times, like, oh, like someone calls it a stripper. They're not strippers. They're dancers. So, of course, at the very end, when, like, oh, I'm going to kill this stripper. Boom. She's not a stripper. She's a dancer. Like, oh, full circle. Fuck you, movie. And the whole time, he's just, like, his plot is he's trying to make a lot of money. So he's doing things like sticking cockroaches in his yogurt to try to, like, and then, so he eats it, like, oh, I can sue the company. And then some fucking intern shithead eats it. And you're like, this is fucking, like, it's, God damn it, I would be so, like, no wonder she just left movies after this, because she, I wouldn't want to show my face in Hollywood ever again. God damn it.
So you gave it a
2.5.
2.5.
All right, you can go, because the next, yeah.
So, one of my box sets, I think I figured out a theme on it. It was one of those three movies in one box sets.
They're all comic books.
Yeah, they're all comic books, and they're kind of all Alan Moore.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Is that the right guy?
Yeah.
Yeah. Alan Moore movies. But I picked it up because I did not own... I only saw two of these before.
Yeah.
And then the third one I never saw, but I picked it up for the two that I've seen because I liked them and I should own them.
Mm-hmm.
So the box set... It's Alan Moore collection. If you know what I'm talking about, you probably guessed what some of them are. But it's
Rainbow Bright,
V for Vendetta, Watchmen, and Constantine are the three movies on here. So V for Vendetta and Watchmen were two books that he wrote, and then Constantine was a character from Swamp Thing that he created. So I think he created the character.
Possibly, I don't know.
But I don't know if it's based off of a certain book or anything, or if it's just the character. I don't know. I don't know much.
Like the movie itself or just
the movie itself. I don't know if that story is like an actual book.
Or if it's just like, here's a Constantine movie. Right.
Yeah. Or if it's just a Constantine movie.
Okay.
I don't know. But because all I know about Constantine is the TV show before going into this.
I read like 2 issues of the book comic. Yeah. He deals with like magic and shit. Or
but
whatever.
Anyway, so I watched V for Vendetta on the 5th. Of November.
Did you, or did you watch it a day late?
Might have been a day late. But I meant to watch it. Because remember, the 5th of November is like the saying, because it's Guy Fawkes Day. But yeah, I've seen this before, and I was shocked because I realized you didn't see it. Like, you haven't seen it?
Yeah, well, actually, you watched this last month, didn't you?
This is November.
Oh shit, when are we talking about this then?
I don't know.
Oh. Sorry, continue.
Yeah, we were talking about it not on a podcast.
I thought it was a podcast.
No.
Because you're talking about you watched the documentary afterwards.
Yeah, I watched, because sometimes I do that. I'll watch the documentary after it. And we were in a car, so obviously we weren't recording it.
Oh, Jesus.
But yeah, so, okay, in case you didn't know, Guy Fawkes Day is a holiday celebrated in the UK. It's about how... This guy wanted to overthrow their government and how they're stronger together as a government and stuff. The movie takes place in a futuristic of sorts. in like shit, what's the word I'm looking for? In a government state, I guess, is kind of what it is, where the government has all these rules in place. There's like, you can't go out after this time, and like all these rules that you have to follow, or things happen to you,
mm-hmm.
and stuff like that. And this guy wears this Guy Fawkes mask and tries to take back the government for the people. So it's like a government's getting too powerful. We are the people. Like, one of the lines he says is, people should not be afraid of the government.
Mm-hmm.
The government should be afraid of the people.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. So, like, it's like, that's the kind of the whole premise of it.
And that's why Anonymous wears the guy masks.
Yep.
The guy masks.
The Guy Fawkes masks. So that's pretty much, like, the premise of the movie, without giving anything away. But Guy Fawkes is a real character in real life. This guy was just wearing his mask.
Okay.
So,
which is what I didn't understand.
thought this character was Guy Fawkes.
Yeah, like, I was like, oh, yeah, because I don't know anything.
But, yeah, in the mini-documentary, they kind of talk about Guy Fawkes Day and what that is, the meaning for it and stuff like that. Because in the UK, you know what Guy Fawkes Day is. In the US, we don't, because we only care about ourselves. So we don't know about the history of other countries.
Yeah.
So, that movie, I watched it, I don't know, probably in college, and it was good, and I mean, it was alright and stuff. This time watching it, I got into it a lot more.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's really good.
Because you're not forced to or whatever.
I wasn't forced to watch it then.
I don't...
It's more of like, I have a much more understanding of the world and stuff like that, that... You grasp the concepts a lot more.
Yeah.
Even if I can't articulate them.
Yeah. I realize I have a shit thing for government. Like, I don't understand government stuff at all. Like, if it's one side or the other, I don't give a shit.
I think working in the news, I ended up understanding more about politics and the government and stuff like that, just because I've heard from the horse's mouth, so to speak.
Yeah. I hate to say it, though, but lately I've been listening to, like, the last couple of days. I listened to NPR.
Oh, God.
It's weird, man.
But anyway, so I liked V for Vendetta. I gave it an 8.5 out of 10.
Oh, wow.
So, there's that.
The next two movies, I watched, they kind of go together, so I was doing that. I watched The Exorcist, which Jason watched last year because it was in his 50 Best Warner Brother Movies or whatever. Yeah, so that was...
Which one was it?
Exorcist?
Exorcist, oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I don't remember when that was. That was... 70s, I think. So that would have been like fallish. You watched it? I don't know. But yeah, it's about
it was in the fall, I think.
Because I'm like going by time.
Yeah.
Probably August or September. But it's about a lady who her daughter gets possessed, and it's kind of cool because it's, I don't know, it's a gradual thing that happens throughout the whole movie. So I don't know, it's weird because it feels more about the people than so far as the sort of exorcism. But I read the book in high school and I loved the book. The book was amazing, and it goes into depth a little more so than, you know, the movie does, because at the beginning of the party, and then the girl comes downstairs and she goes, "You're gonna die up there." And the, she's like, "Oh, she hasn't been feeling well and stuff like that. She's sick." Because I think in the book they mentioned that the guy worked for like NASA, the space station or something like that, and he's just like, "You're gonna die up there," and that's like why, like, because otherwise why would you say that to a random person?
I think this was like the green room, because you were talking about the Exorcist movies as well.
Oh,
and that's probably why you thought we already did this.
Maybe, I don't know,
because we were talking about Tony and about the Exorcist movies and stuff, and yeah, the second one is.
But like, I thought, because remember you saying something about like. Yeah, it's weird because the V for Vendetta, the documentary, has footage from the movie. You're like, that's kind of weird. I'm like, oh, okay. Because I didn't ask why, because I thought we were in a conversation. And I'm like, oh, okay. You know, and so I'm like, it was one of those things. I'm like, I feel like I should have asked, why is that weird? Because I thought it was based on the person years ago. I didn't know it was a futuristic thing. I have the graphic novel, but I never read it.
But yeah, it's kind of funny. Movie. Like a reenactment of the historical event that they put in the movie.
Yeah. Anyways, so yeah, the girl gets possessed. I mean, I watched a lot of the Exorcist movies, so I like the whole like story, the overall like things, kind of some of it.
Even if they're really bizarre.
Yeah. But yeah, as for the Exorcist, it's I mean, it's a good movie. I like the acting. I like, because, yeah, it's just a classic movie, because the lady that played the mother, she was, like, just so good. I don't know. But, yeah. And plus, the guy who played Father Karras was fucking awesome. But I gave it a 9.
Wow.
I feel bad. Yeah,
I don't know if I... I don't remember what I gave it.
I think
it.
You gave it, like, a 7 or 7.5. But, no, I dug it. But then I had... The reason why I watched that one, even though I... Other than the reason I really liked the movie, is because Exorcist 2, The Heretic, was in the shitty box collection. Now, this movie takes place years later, where, I don't know, what was it? Selma Blair. I don't remember the fucking... What's her name? Linda Blair. Her character. Shit, I forgot the kid's name. Whatever, fucking dumb kid. It takes place years later. She's, like, 18 in, like, high school or college or whatever. I don't know. But she's going to see a therapist. And a therapist slash person about her dreams and stuff. Because after all that happened in the first movie when she was possessed and stuff. Oh, spoiler alert. She lives because she's in the second one. She doesn't remember anything that happened. So the nurse is like, you know what? We're going to help you remember. Right? Of course. Fucking stupid idea. But it's funny because the lady that plays Nurse Ratchet in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, it's almost like she's the same person, except not as much of a bitch. But she's like, oh, so they use this machine and they connect two people's minds to it and they go into her dreams to find, like, and then awaken it. But of course, they're like, oh, demons and shit. Oh, shit, crazy stuff. And for some reason, she can start, like, seeing the future. And she sees the past of, like, this certain event, like, this demon or this person that was possessed years ago in some other country in, like, fucking South America. And I don't know. Tony explained it, kind of, but to me. But I didn't really understand this movie because it was all over the fucking place. So she's kind of possessed. But, and the reason, I guess, why the demon wanted to possess her was because she's a good person, and she somehow has, like, the magical ability to heal people, because one of the kids that comes into the sleep center type place, she starts talking to her. She's like, hi, what's your name? And she's like, oh, this, blah, blah, blah. And she's, like, having a little conversation with her, and her mom freaks out because she's talking. So, like, just by talking to Linda Blair, the girl fucking is healed. And then, the priest, he flies down to fucking, I think it's South America somewhere. And he's like, oh, Pazuzu. He's like, I gotta find this fucking grasshopper demon spirit, whatever. So this guy who, like, he did the whole Pied Piper, but for, like, grasshoppers.
Okay.
Or not grasshoppers, locusts, I should say. And so, like, a locust would come and you'd be like, oh, swinging this thing around, his whip around, and like, oh, the locusts are leaving. Yeah, and then James Earl Jones shows up for, like, 5 seconds. And then at the very end, she has, like, a battle with a demon version of herself or something. I don't fucking know. It was bad. I give it a 4. Like, it's just... I don't get it, man. But the third one's good. And I like the...
Good?
I was going to say great, but it's a combination of good and great, the third one. I didn't watch it recently, but... And then I watched the prequels, too. I almost considered buying on Blu-ray the anthology, but then I'm like, then I'll own The Heretic. I'll own the second one. I don't want to own it on Blu-ray.
Yeah, you get 2 copies of it.
Ugh. All right.
And then I watched Constantine in this box set.
Oh, okay.
Which is Keanu Reeves as Constantine.
Yeah,
John Constantine.
I didn't really know it was based on a comic book until I was, like, halfway through that movie.
And it's weird because, okay, so this movie, shit, when did it come out?
2002? I want to say. Does it say on here somewhere? Let's see it. 2000, actually, I want to say like 2003 or 4.
5?
Maybe.
2005? That seems late.
Constantine.
Maybe that's when the Blu-ray came out. But anyway, I didn't know much about Constantine. I watched the TV show that got canceled. So, like, to me, that was Constantine. And it's weird how Constantine came out after.
2005, February.
Constantine, the TV show, came out after. But it feels like Keanu Reeves is trying to be that guy's version of Constantine.
So either the guy copied Keanu Reeves or, like, the character is well-written?
Yeah. I don't know. Because, yeah, I don't know. He just had, like, some of the way he says words and stuff and, like, reacted to things. But it's kind of like a supernatural talking to the dead people. What the fuck am I trying to say?
No.
But anyway, it's a supernatural thing where people hire him to do things. Like, this one lady hires because her sister killed herself.
Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't think that her sister killed herself. So she hires John Constantine to talk to her from the other side.
Yeah.
And find out why this happened. And I'm trying to remember what happened in this movie.
I don't remember much. Like, I watched it in college. So
I mean, the movie itself was good. I mean, Keanu Reeves did surprise me with his acting ability. Mm-hmm. Like, it's still Keanu Reeves, but it was a little different than his other characters because it was like, because he was smart and stuff.
Yeah. hey, Johnny Mnemonic was smart.
But basically, because everyone knows that the Son of God is Jesus.
Yeah.
So then the son of Lucifer exists as well. Because God had a son, so did the devil.
Why not? It can't be a daughter.
And then, so...
opposite.
Yeah, it's Rosemary.
Shit, right. Rosemary's Baby. Fuck.
But then, so that was part of the movie, and then Constantine's, like, fighting with the devil's kid and stuff. It was weird. It was fucking weird. The special effects were amazing, though.
Yeah.
Like, when he went to hell. Like...
I don't remember much about
the
movie.
I don't remember much either, but I remember special effects were cool. There was the devil's... I mean, he was grown up. It was like, you know, Jesus, you know, but he was evil.
You want to know what made me think?
And then I watched the end, and I didn't understand what happened at the end. I even rewound it and rewatched the end. I still didn't... I felt like I missed something. I'm like, he was fighting with him, and he was losing. And, oh, spoilers. He was fighting with him, and he was losing. And then he won for some reason, but I don't know how. He just, like, gave up or something? I don't know.
And no, I was gonna say that the reason why I... thought for a second, I'm like, this has to be based on something, was when he was fighting some, like, bug monster on the highway or something. I don't remember that. And then afterwards, like, he went to go, like, pull his cigarettes out. He's like, and he said a line about, like, I gotta quit these or something. But, like, they really didn't reference him having cigarettes earlier in the movie or something. I'm like, it felt like it was a
sequel to something.
It felt like he was making reference to something, like, yeah, these cigarettes. I'm like, what? That's, like, just the way it was, like, delivered, I'm like, it seems like they're referencing something that a character already exists.
Yeah, because he's constantly smoking and stuff. Yeah. But I think this was back when they couldn't smoke in the movies. Like, they didn't want people...
Like, they're trying to get rid of that.
Yeah. People, like, I want to be cool like him because he smokes, you know? They're trying to take that out of movies.
But then I looked up online and it said, based on the... Or maybe during the credits it says, based on the character from Hellblazer.
Yeah, because Hellblazer was the comic book.
Yeah.
And then Constantine was like...
Well, it's a series, yeah.
The video version. Well, now it's called Constantine because of the show and the movie and stuff.
Yeah, well, but there was a part in the series where it was Hellblazer : Constantine.
Right.
I believe.
That's the current one right now, but... Anyway, so yeah, I gave Constantine a 7.
Alright.
It was decent, like... Even though I don't remember much what happened, it was entertaining to watch at the time.
Yeah. Sometimes that's all that matters in a movie is...
Did I enjoy watching it?
Yeah. Did you have fun? Was that hour and a half or whatever worth it? But...
Yeah, it was the second movie in this box set.
The next movie I watched...
In my box set.
The next movie I watched with you.
Oh, Jurassic Park?
Nope.
World?
Yeah. Did you...
I'm not even saying these in order because...
Oh.
Because I watched... part of a box set, and then I started and finished this one, so I just figured I'll finish the rest of this box set next month, so I'm just gonna reorganize this stuff. So
oh, okay.
We can talk about Jurassic World.
We watched Jurassic World.
since we brought it up. We watched Jurassic World.
So, Jurassic Park is one of my favorite movies of all time.
Yeah.
And 2 was alright. 3 wasn't that good. And I'm like, 15 years later, like, we're going to make a sequel finally. And I was very nervous. I was so nervous. And then I found out, we're making a new dinosaur for the park, genetically.
That pissed me off.
That scared me.
Like, when I saw the trailers, I'm like, God damn it, I know what's going to happen at the end of the movie.
And so, yeah, basically, the movie plot is Jurassic Park becomes a real thing.
Yeah, it's called Jurassic World.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to reference it as Jurassic Park because that was because horrible.
Because the incident,
yeah. But yeah, the park's been in existence and it's popular.
And it works.
And it works and people are going. But admission to the park is slowly decreasing. Like, it's not as popular as it was when it first opened, so they started creating more dinosaurs to get more people to come back.
So they made a new dinosaur, which they were going to release or, like, open the exhibit, like, in a month or two.
Yeah.
But then, what even happened?
Basically, they spliced a bunch of dinosaur DNA together to create a new dinosaur.
And the scientists didn't tell them... They didn't tell them what the DNA they were splicing.
Right, and the dinosaur was really smart.
Yeah.
And they, like, did, like, a scan of the cell of his cage or whatever, and he wasn't in there.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, oh, shit, he got out, and they saw scratches on the wall. And they're like, oh, no, he got over the fence. They opened up the gate, and, oh, no, he was in there, and now he's out.
Hell breaks loose.
Yeah, so then the dinosaur gets loose, and then fucking just starts killing a lot of dinosaurs. Yeah.
But the main and, like, part of the plot is, at the very beginning, there's a set of parents who, I think they're, like, weren't they getting divorced or something?
I don't know,
but they sent their two kids off to their aunt, played by what's his name's daughter? Fucking
Howard.
Howard, yeah, whatever Howard. She has three names. She Bryce Dallas Howard. She works as, like, a very important person at Jurassic World. So her two nephews come in for free, and one's, like, autistic, and the other one's, like, just looking at girls. He was autistic, you know he was. He's like, look at this. This is these stars and these DNA. He's like, fucking just not. They didn't mention it, but you knew they meant him to be autistic. Like, he was much smarter, but his social skills sucked.
Maybe the character wasn't, but the actor was.
We're just being assholes. I'm being an asshole. But yeah, they went there. So, of course, they get caught in the middle. So she's trying to save the park, but at the same time, her nephews are important. And then Chris Pratt's character is like, I wrangle dinosaurs. And
yeah, he had a weird voice thing going on.
It sounded like he had something in his mouth sometimes. That's one thing that I didn't like about this movie. Is Chris Pratt's like, yeah, I wrangle dinosaurs and stuff like that. And then, but like, oh, Chris Pratt. They're probably like, hey, Chris, you can go ahead and, like, improvise some lines here and there. Because you're funny. And it completely took him out of that character. Yeah. Like, because, like, the whole thing, like, oh, yeah, you know, like, this, what, really, this? You're like, this isn't your character anymore. It's Chris Pratt. When him and her were, like, interacting at some points, it just didn't fit their character mode. Because she was so detail-oriented. And then sometimes when she's around, like, sometimes she was just so flighty. I don't know. It was weird.
There were parts of it, like, some of the characters and stuff, that were like, eh, I didn't care for it at all. But there was some really awesome scenes and stuff like that in it that just took me out of it. Like, I didn't realize how violent it was going to be.
Yeah.
Like, I know the first one, like, at the time, was like, holy crap, this is a violent movie. And now it's like... tame in comparison.
Yeah.
And it's just like, so many people died in this movie.
Yeah.
And as you pointed out, innocent people.
Yeah. Like, and one of the deaths was like, it was just so, like, I felt horrible, like, seeing that one character.
I don't think it's really much of a spoiler, but the pterodactyls, like, that was horrible. Yeah. Like, just going down Main Street, just taking out
there's one person, like, the pterodactyl picked that person up. kept dunking her underwater, so she was having trouble breathing. You're like, this is horrible. This is like Blackfish territory. Like where like the, she's like constantly dunking her, and she's like gasping for breath, and they pull up. She's like trying to drown her. And then the fucking thing comes up and eats her. I'm like, that was the worst, like last minute of someone's life. Terrified, you're flying 60 feet above the air. You get dropped. Another pterodactyl grabs you. You're fucking like, am I going to die by these people? And then you almost get drowned by a flying creature. And then eat, like, fuck, man. That disturbed me so much.
Yeah. But, I mean, there was a lot of scenes that were like, this is what we needed in a Jurassic Park
yeah,
movie.
Like the fighting scenes. Well, I was going to say some of the fighting scenes.
Yeah.
With, like, he was fighting the Ankylosaurus. Not the Ankylosaurus.
Oh, the dinosaur on dinosaur yeah. fights were way better than anything in 3.
Yeah.
Which was the whole reason for 3 was dinosaur fights.
Pretty much.
This one beat that one.
Now, one of the things that irritated me, not irritated me, but like just kind of, I don't know how to describe this. It didn't sit well with me. Was it felt like they were referencing too hard that this is a, like, because you know it felt weird because none of the original cast at all
right.
is in this movie. But like, hey, remember Jurassic Park? Remember this from the first movie? Hey, remember this from the first movie?
Mm-hmm.
It felt like they did that too hard. It's like it's. Jurassic World, it's not like you're redoing.
The thing is, it's like a whole new movie.
Yeah.
So people who haven't seen the other ones can see Jurassic Park for the first time.
Yeah.
And then they wanted to put that stuff in there for people who saw the first one, like, oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It yeah.
I don't think it was as hard as I thought it was going to be.
What do you mean?
Like the references to the old park.
Yeah.
Like to me, there was only a couple instances, and they weren't that bad.
Yeah. No. I just yeah.
Like him wearing the T-shirt and stuff. Mm-hmm. And
no, it just felt weird for a sequel to be. I don't know. And also,
that far into the future.
This probably shouldn't be a spoiler, but why use the same fucking island? Why use the same goddamn island? It's like Isla Nublar or whatever the fuck.
Yeah. Because well, they did that because they owned it.
Yeah.
You own an island. But it's not that cheap to buy a new island.
But those flying birds were everywhere in the third movie, and like in old.
Yeah, I don't
like,
know how they got them all.
How did they just go? We either captured and or killed all the other dinosaurs in this island.
Yeah, I don't know how they got through
like,
that.
The flying ones and shit. Like, I mean, Christ.
They just brought in like a tactical team and took down all the T Rexes and stuff.
I know.
Like, how did? Especially since the. I don't know, spoiler from the first movie? They were, like, reproducing?
Yeah.
It's like, you don't know how many dinosaurs there are. Yeah. Oh, we got them all. And then a raptor comes out of nowhere. Just yeah. like,
and
oh,
then,
whoops.
And then in the second and third movie, there's dinosaurs you didn't even see in the park in the first place.
Uh-huh.
Like, where did these guys come from? Like, the Dilophosaurus, how did those...
Oh, yeah, they created movie characters for the third movie.
Yeah.
And it's like, you can't just do that when they didn't exist in the original.
Yeah.
Like, the Ultra Raptor or whatever it was. What was...
Or the like T Rex and the fin.
Utah Raptor thing.
Yeah, I don't know.
But it's just like no, the Velociraptor was just like, oh, this is like, you know, and then you're like, oh, these other versions of raptors. We're like, no, you can't just do that.
Yeah, it's but I don't know.
That's not this movie. This movie they created all new monsters.
Yeah.
Not created, but they made them from the DNA.
Yeah, there's a few questions I have that don't logistically line up with me, but. I mean, it was a movie, though, so...
It was a movie. I gave it an 8.
I did, too.
Because it was more enjoyable than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah. But there were a few times...
But there were a couple times, like, God damn it.
Yeah, it just... They needed a family movie, for sure.
How?
I don't know.
Why would you make... Okay, if it was a family movie, there was way too much violence.
Oh, it was PG-13, yeah. Because he only said, like, shit once. I think they only swore, like, once or twice.
I think it's up there.
But the thing that also irritated me is at one point when they're doing the gyro rider or whatever the fuck, that globe thing, circle thing, it's just some fucking teenager game, like, get in this thing, push the thing. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's what the Jimmy Fallon, unnecessary.
Yeah. But, no, it irritated me, like, of all these...
PG-13.
Yeah. But of all these... things to happen in a movie in a park like this where there's just dinosaurs and anything wrong could happen, just trying to make sure everything is top notch okay. They have a fucking teenager like operating a ride, quote unquote, where they can just drive around their fucking vehicles in dinosaurs. That doesn't seem like something a teenager should be just watching.
Well, he wasn't even watching. He was just, like, the one handing out the freaking keys or whatever.
Yeah, but then once the shit was going down, he's like, I don't know, I just work here, I don't know. No, it fucking doesn't take responsibility. That kid should be fired. He's probably dead.
The kid's probably dead.
Speaking of dead,
Scott watched a movie.
Surviving Christmas. Now,
who's in that?
Shit. Catherine O'Hara. Why is it the first name I thought of? The mother from Home Alone.
Okay.
Not Zach Galifianakis. Jesus Christ. Who's the guy from Sopranos? The guy that died.
Oh, yeah. Tony
Soprano. Yeah. Tony Soprano? No. God damn it, whatever his name was. No. And then the best part of it, Ben Affleck. James Gandolfini. That's it.
Yeah, I don't know that off yet.
Oh, and then also Christina Applegate. So, it starts off with Ben Affleck being some shitty douchebag. Turns out he's an advertisement salesman, like an ad guy, worth millions of dollars. And he's like, yeah, what's up? I'm rich. I have this hot girlfriend, and she's rich. And we're going to spend Christmas down in fucking Aruba or whatever. I don't know. I don't give a shit. She says she wants to spend her time on Christmas with her family. That's what you should do. Spend time with your family. He's like, I don't want to spend time with my family. I want to go hang out with you in the beaches and stuff. She goes, no. I'm not going to spend time with Christmas. I'm going to spend time with my family. You should really learn to like your family. So he's like, all right. So he goes to his house. He goes to his house, his childhood home, just to revisit it. He goes inside. It's James Gandolfini and Catherine O'Hara, and they're living in the house with their kid, right? So he goes in there and is like, oh man, I would love to relive my Christmas. I'll give you $250,000 if you let me sleep in my old bedroom. He just throws down $250,000 to say, can I sleep? And then whatever I want to do for Christmas, you have to do it, because that's how it goes. So he's like, let's sing Christmas carols. Let's go pick out a tree. And James Gandolfini's like, old grumpy, like, nah, no, are you stupid? I'm not doing that. He's like, you have to. And, that goes on for a while. And he acts Ben Affleck. It's, just imagine Ben Affleck trying to be funny and not. That's an hour and a half of the movie. But then he tries using his money to make everyone in the family feel better, and he just makes it worse because the kid just wants to stay in his room and look at porn all day, and the parents,
seriously?
Yeah, and the parents want to get divorced, and then their daughter comes home from college and is like, what the fuck is this? Who's this guy in our house? He's a crazy man. You shouldn't be letting him in your house. Who just does that? And they get into this whole thing where they don't like each other, but you know they're going to fall in love. Spoiler alert, they fall in love. And right as his girlfriend comes back and says, oh, you're right. I want to hang out with you and your family. That's so nice. And all craziness ensues. And it's fucking stupid. And it's a piece of shit. And fuck that movie. Fuck it. God damn it.
Just think, Scott. The year's almost over.
I know. Oh, God. I was going to wait till December to watch this. And I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm watching it now. At least you can listen to it around Christmas.
If you want to watch a movie during Christmas, don't watch this.
Yeah, don't watch
one.
This. I'm trying
watch
to
Home Alone instead.
I'm trying to think of any good points in this movie. I guess that it's only an hour and a half long is a good point. I mean,
it's not horrible.
Other than Ben Affleck, the acting was pretty good. Because James Gandolfini was like, his character was just pretty much the way he did it was great. I gave it a 3.
Sorry, I just wanted to do that.
Yeah, I gave it a 3. I got 3 movies left now.
Oh, I got a couple here. I got more than that. In this box set that I watched, V for Vendetta and Constantine, was also Watchmen.
Yeah.
Which I've seen before, and I thought I watched it last year, but it wasn't on my list from last year.
I don't think you did,
I'm going to talk about it again. So Watchmen is a really good movie. It's based on, I don't know if it still is, but the best graphic novel of all times.
Probably up there.
I don't know if it still is, but it's a really good graphic novel. It was actually on the Time Magazine's best list of best books ever.
Yeah, the top 100 books.
And this is regular books, and it was on that list.
Yeah.
But in case you haven't seen this movie or read the book or have no idea what it's about, it's a superhero movie of sorts where it takes place during the Cold War era.
Nixon.
With Nixon and stuff. And but there's superheroes. And it's a countdown to the countdown on the atomic clock to a nuclear war or something. I don't remember what it was. It was the giant clock.
Noon? I don't know.
No, it's like, fuck. Of course, they're not going to
describe it. High noon.
but the countdown to the end of sorts. But there's a bunch of superheroes who form a group called the Minutemen, and they are a group of superheroes and stuff. And then, and this is all in the very beginning of the movie. You see, like, through time. This is before the Cold War era, but there's, like, Minutemen, and then as, like, time moves on, you see, like, oh, these people, oh, one of them was gay, and they got murdered because they didn't like gay people, and this guy did that, and, like, it was, like, all this horrible stuff that was happening. Apparently, after a while, superheroes just, like, were like, okay, we're done with superheroes. We're just not going to do this anymore. It's not worth the risk anymore. But there's, like, a couple of them that are still doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them was like kind of an asshole.
The comedian.
he went around killing people, and but you know, to stop crime and stuff like that. But he's super strong and he gets murdered at the beginning of the movie. So then one of the other guys, Rorschach, he's kind of like a detective, like almost like Batman of sorts.
He's like a thug Batman.
Yeah, so he's got no superpowers, but he's like a good detective. So he's trying to figure out who killed the comedian. And then there's the Owl Man. Night Owl, that's it. Night Owl.
Owl Man.
Owl Man. The Night Owl, which is...
like Batman.
Also like Batman. it's like all of Batman got split into multiple people.
Kind of.
So they're trying to figure out who killed him, and then other people start dying. And there's this big blue guy who...
he's like Batman.
He's like Batman. No.
The least like Batman.
Dr. Manhattan, because it's like the Manhattan Project. And he can see past, present, and future all at once.
Yeah.
And he's like the only one with true superpowers.
Mm-hmm.
And...
Suspector.
Someone's gonna say about
oh,
Manhattan, and there's like all these rumors about him, and they're like, oh, he's got to be able to stop the nuclear clock or whatever. And I don't know where I'm going with this.
I don't know.
It's a really long book and a really long movie, but
yeah,
it's just drawn really well. And the ending, I freaking love the ending. I don't want to spoil it, but like, it just makes you think about stuff.
But majority of the movie though is.
Is them trying to figure out?
Yeah.
Is them trying to figure out? Oh, is someone trying to kill the superheroes off?
Yeah.
And if so, why? And then, yeah. And then there's the whole Manhattan thing where he's like, "If you know everything, you should tell us," you know. But he doesn't want to screw up the balance and all this crap because he's seen all the alternatives of time.
Yeah.
So if he changes this, he knows exactly but what's also, gonna happen.
But also,
but then there's a certain point where he can't remember past.
Yeah. Also, isn't there like a part like where he just can't see because it there's like something blocking it?
He can see up to the future up to a certain point.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, "Oh, that's when the clock hits. The nuclear clock hits."
Mm-hmm.
I'm probably saying that completely wrong. Nuclear clock. I just remember the guy's like, "It's one step closer to midnight," mm-hmm. and stuff. But yeah, the book and the movie have different endings, but the same kind of premise.
Yeah.
And it makes you think about stuff, and like the saying in here, like who watches the Watchmen kind of thing is kind of cool too. I like that.
Yeah. Cause it's like, if you're all powerful and stuff like that, who knows who
can stop you?
Yeah. Well, it's like they're dealing justice, but who deals justice to the people that are
corrupt?
Yeah. Of course, the whole Alan Moore thing again with his
yeah.
D for Vendetta.
Yep.
I think he has some government.
Well, have you seen him? He looks like the crazy guy who lives in the woods.
Yeah. Fucking smart, though, guy.
Yeah, I gave it an 8.5. I was trying to think if I wanted to give it a 9 or not. But, yeah, it's a really good movie. I liked it. Oh, and this was the director's cut, so it was a lot longer, too.
Yeah, I think... Also, I don't know. I think it's, like, 12 minutes longer or something.
Yeah, and there's, like, Manhattan is pretty much CG and stuff like that, and everyone was pointing out, oh, you get to see his giant blue penis. Really? How mature are people? Really?
I don't know.
He's beyond, like, the need... Like, yeah, he's naked, but...
Naked butt. Ha!
It's one of those things, like, he's beyond the point of, like, needing clothes. Like, why did clothes matter?
Yeah.
He doesn't need them to keep warm. That's the whole purpose of clothes.
And who cares about his big blue junk when you can see Silk Spectre naked?
Yeah. So I watched that one, and then what else did I have? 1, 2, 3. I have 3 more.
Me too.
All right. Go ahead, because I'll probably put 2 of these together.
Oh, in case I haven't mentioned, Striptease and Surviving Christmas and Exorcist 2 were on my list. That's why I watched those shitty movies.
Yeah, the V for Vendetta, Watchmen, and Constantine were in my set.
Now, last month
I'm just going to say this since I finished this box set. The V for Vendetta, Constantine, Watchmen box set, the box set itself got an average of 8.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, so that's a pretty good box set. I liked it. It's probably the best box set I've watched so far this year.
Yeah.
Because the worst movie on it was like a 7.
Well, that's why they sell box sets, because like, if there's a bad one in there, at least someone's buying it.
I know, but it did bring down the average, so...
Yeah. Now, last month I watched Popeye, with Robin Williams pretending to be a cartoon character. This month I watched Mr. Magoo, Leslie Nielsen pretending to be a cartoon character. Now, the plot... That existed. The plot was all over the place. No, it was very generic. In case you haven't ever seen the Mr. Magoo cartoon, he's like this old, dude that doesn't see well, and he's always getting himself into trouble, and he has no idea what's going on, completely oblivious to the world. Which is funny, because at the end of the credits, they said. They had a little disclaimer saying we are not making fun of blind people and so like that. Like they had a disclaimer saying we're not trying to make fun of people that can't see. It's just, you know, it's a character and so like that, and it was fucking funny. But
because he's a blind person, he like walks into trouble.
I can't see. Blah blah blah. So Mr. Magoo apparently I don't remember much from the cartoons, but apparently he has a beet juice farm. Company or something.
Beets.
He drives a giant beet at one point in the movie, like a vehicle that looks like a beet.
Beets.
But he donated a bunch of money to a wing in the museum, and there's this really, of course, you have to turn a kid's cartoon into a movie for a family. So there's a jewel thief. So this jewel thief goes in, steals this jewel, it ends up in Mr. Magoo's possession without him realizing it's in his possession. So they're trying to get the jewel from him.
Classic family movie.
Classic family movie. And then, yeah, pretty much that whole thing. And then the girl thief is trying to get it back and sell it and stuff. But I don't remember this from the cartoon or anything, but he has a nephew that's with him the whole time. That's like...
Hey. Sounds familiar.
Okay, because then he has a dog as well that's just pretty much... stopping him from, like, running into things, like moving bowls and chairs and stuff. It was a very obviously crappy, but made for, like, little kids to watch and families. But it actually wasn't horrible because Leslie Nielsen...
So I kind of wanted to see it because I remember watching Mr. Magoo a lot. Yeah. And Leslie Nielsen's pretty funny.
Leslie Nielsen does... Like, some of the stuff is just, like, yeah, we get it, you can't see... But the way he kept doing the Mr. Magoo laugh was fantastic. Like, his Mr. Magoo laugh was great. But overall, the movie, I mean, it was basically a live-action cartoon. I mean, it wasn't great, but it wasn't horrible. I gave it a 5 across the board. But Jennifer Garner is in it. She looks young as shit. I look it up. She started acting in 1997.
Mm-hmm.
That movie was made in 1997. So the first year she was acting, in anything was that she was like in a few shows and stuff like that, whatever, but and then Alias started like 4 years later. So this is like pre-Alias Jennifer Garner. She looks like she's 19. It's creepy. So, but yeah, it's I didn't think it was a horrible movie. Yeah, so I just put it as a 5.
So I watched another like movie I bought around the same time as Jurassic World was Inside Out.
Yep.
So I watched that Pixar movie, Inside Out. And I think last year I watched Big Hero 6.
Probably. I watched it this year.
Yeah. So this is the newest one that's not in theaters right now because Dinosaur came out.
The dinosaur one.
The Good Dinosaur.
Is that the Pixar movie too?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, they're pumping these fuckers out.
Yep. But basically, Inside Out is you're like about this one kid who, her and her parents, they move from Minnesota to California.
Oh.
And most of the movie takes place in this girl's head, and the five major characters are the five emotions, the five food groups of emotion, and they move to this new town, and you know she's a new kid in school and stuff like that, and they kind of go through how they think your mind works,
mm-hmm.
and your memories and all this stuff, and basically the five emotions control your actions and speaking and all that stuff,
mm-hmm.
and joy and sadness fall down into long-term memory. So the other three are in control of this kid. So this kid's not happy or sad. It's everything else. And
so just like nervous and then angry. And
yeah. Yeah. Which is basically being a teenager.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So the entire movie is like those two trying to get back to the control center.
Mm.
And then like the kid blowing up at her parents and not fitting in at school and all this stuff, and
oh shit, man, that's deep.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah. So that's like the basic premise of the movie. Without giving any of the real plot away, that's the premise. The movie is good. I just like there was so many different like things that I was thinking of. Like there's parts in it that were really funny, and then the parts are like, that's dumb. But I understand it's someone's interpretation of how your mind works,
yeah.
and stuff like that. And it's not accurate at all. But, you know, you had Toy Story with the toys that come alive. This is kind of like, oh, you know,
yeah,
what's going on inside your head? And this is what's going on inside your head. Like some of the concepts I thought about the memories and stuff was kind of cool. The dream stuff was weird. I didn't like it. Imagination world is fucked up. But yeah, I thought it was enjoyable. I don't think everyone's saying this is the best I don't think it's the best Pixar movie. It was good. I mean, it wasn't as good as I was hoping.
Yeah.
But there were parts that I liked about it. I mean, I'd watch it again. I just don't, it's not one of those that'd be like, this is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Like I liked the concept of the stuff, but most of the movie was those two trying to get back to the command center.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, now it's a destination movie instead of the concept. So I felt like that took away from it.
I think the best Pixar movie I've seen was probably Big Hero 6.
Big Hero 6 was really good.
It's fucking...
I was trying to think, like, I liked that one a lot, but I don't know if it would be my favorite. I liked the first Monsters, Inc.
That one was pretty good.
And obviously the first Toy Story was really good, too. But the movies have come a long way since Toy Story 1. I rewatched the first one, I'm like, holy crap. Like, I remember when this was, like, state-of-the-art graphics, and now it's like, what?
Yeah, human beings are fucking creepy.
But, yeah, Inside Out, I gave it a 7.
All right.
It was good, but, yeah, not as good as other movies I've watched. And there are a lot of the voice actors, I liked a lot of them. They were really good.
God damn it, I just saw on the side it says 3D.
Yeah.
And it's the D from Disney.
Yeah.
The three Disney.
Three Disney movies in one.
Whoa.
And then I have two more movies.
Me too. Well, the next movie I watched It couldn't be half bad, right? Because it's a Dustin Hoffman movie.
Oh, I thought you were going to say A Kid in the Half.
No.
Is that half bad?
Oh, shit. it's...
Red Cat!
Was it, he's just staring. And then, what's his nuts from Carly Simon song?
Carly Simon's song?
You know the one, You're So Vain?
Oh, yeah. I bet you think the song's about you.
Yeah, it's actually about somebody. Warren Beatty.
Oh.
So it's Warren Beatty and Dustin Hoffman.
Wait, there's four discs in this?
What, Jurassic Park?
No, oh, Inside Out. Well, there's four discs in Jurassic Park 2.
Well, the movie's called Ishtar. So
Call Me Ishtar.
Call Me Ishtar, dummy. Dustin Hoffman and Warren Beatty play two characters that are songwriters, and they're like, we want to be really good songwriters. So they were like, and
this
so they
is on your bad list?
Yeah.
Okay.
So they're really excited because they sit down and like the first 5 minutes is like just them like just playing notes and trying to think of the lyrics to a song, just making it up. And I'm like, actually, this song's kind of catchy, but and they're trying to like they're going to open mic nights and stuff like that, trying to get a record deal.
Mm-hmm.
But they're good at writing songs, but they can't sing or play music for shit. Because, like, we're songwriters. We're not performers. But they want to be, like, the next Simon and Garfunkel. So, like, one guy, his wife ends up leaving him. And the other guy, his girlfriend leaves him. And so these guys, like, take breaks from their job just to, like, write songs. So all they're doing is just writing songs and trying to get their, just to get well-known. So that's what the movie I thought was going to be about. It just takes a complete 180. Where they find, like, so, like, here they are in New York or whatever, trying to do, like, open mic night stuff. Cut immediately to the Middle East. This guy finds this map that's very important to this country. And people are killing for it and stuff. And they kill the guy. And if the map falls into the wrong hands, it the country's on the verge of civil war. So they're like, hey, we gotta hide this map and stuff like that. So, like, the guy's sister is in charge of trying to, like, find the map. And these people want to kill her and get rid of the map and stuff like that, whatever. So, I'm like, where is this fucking plot going? But the two Lounge Singer guys, they end up getting a deal, like a record, not a record deal, but just a job going over to Morocco and singing at a resort for, like, Americans over there. And they end up getting tied into the whole thing where the lady from Ishtar has the map and they're trying to, like, she's trying to get into the other country and this with the map and stuff. And then Charles Grodin shows up and he's in the CIA and they kind of start working against each other. They think they're working against each other because, like, oh, you like the girl and this and this and this. And it just gets out of hand pretty fast. Like, there's some comedic parts, but at the same time, there's some really not great borderline racist parts. Because, yeah, at one point, like, they're at an arms dealing, and he paints his face to look sort of like Arab or mm-hmm. whatever, and he starts, like, just spewing out, like, random nonsense words, because they think he speaks... Like, he's an interpreter. So, like, I'm like, oof, this is weird. I don't know how to... this is probably the hardest movie to try to score. Because I didn't know, like, was it bad? Was it okay? Was it, like, I had no... Like,
I have no idea.
I had no idea, so I just gave it a 5.
Yeah, that's
across the board. I looked in IMDb, they gave it a 4.1. But, yeah, I there are some parts that I'm like, this is actually the best part of the movie is the girl who's like, her brother died for the map and stuff. She tells Warren Beatty's character, she goes, you have to go to the market, find a guy named like this, and tell him you want to buy a blind camel. It's like a code word type mm-hmm. thing. He ends up buying a blind camel. So they're fucking dragging this blind camel around, and it's like he's just running into shit and fucking stepping on Pete. It's like that was the best part of the movie was the fucking blind camel just running into knocking people over and stuff, and they carried around for like probably 10 minutes in the movie.
It was not long enough.
Not long enough. Because he just, like, during a windstorm, he just, like, sits down in the desert. He's like, come on, go. But, yeah, I gave it a 5, the movie. Camel, I gave it 9.
Okay, so this 3-pack of movies I watched.
Yeah.
I watched that one, and then I started another pack of movies. There's 6 movies in this one. But I only watched 2 this month, so next month I'll have to watch the other 4.
Finish them off.
And it's the Chucky Complete Collection. So it's like the Child's Play movies and the Chucky movies and so on and so forth.
I think I've only seen like 2 of those movies total.
Yeah. So I think I've seen them all before, but it's been a long time.
Yeah, for sure.
So I rewatched the first Child's Play, and I guess I don't remember much. I remember that they were chasing this guy at the beginning of the movie, and he puts himself in the doll.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently, he is the Lakeshore Strangler. So he's a serial killer that just goes around strangling people. And he gets into a shootout with the cops.
Yeah,
in a toy store. And he ends up getting shot and he's dying. So then he, like, uses voodoo and puts himself into this doll.
Which is pretty creepy knowing a serial killer knows and performs voodoo well.
Yeah, and he didn't know... apparently he didn't know that much about it. Because later he talks to a voodoo guy. Like, how do I get out of this body? And stuff like that. Like, oh... Okay. He's like, so you know how to get into it, but you don't know how to get out. Like, how do you know that much voodoo? So he gets into the body
of the doll.
Yeah. The Chucky doll. No, his name's Chucky. His name's Charles something, and he goes by Chucky. The Tommy's the name of the doll.
Oh, that's right. It was but, yeah,
the Tommy doll. Yeah, it's the My Buddy ripoff.
Yeah.
But yeah, he goes to this voodoo guy and says, how do I get out of this doll? And he says... The only person that the only way to get out of it is to transfer into the person who saw you as a doll, like knew that you were in this doll, and it was this kid that got it as a birthday gift. So that's why he's trying to go after the kid so he can steal his body, because he's the one who he told him, like the first person who revealed his secret to him. Mm-hmm. And told him, I'm a serial killer, blah, blah, blah. So this kid.
That's like, a lot to dump on a little kid.
Yeah. So this kid. Gets, basically, Chucky tries to kill him and, kills a couple people in the process. The doll does.
Not the kid.
Not the kid. The kid doesn't kill people. So then at the end of the movie, I don't want to spoil it, but basically he shoots.
You kind of almost have to for the sequels,
yeah,
though.
Yeah. So, like, they stop the doll, you know, like, they kill the doll the way... I'm trying to remember if it was the voodoo guy. Like, I remember who told him how to, like, this is the one way to get rid of the spirit in the doll.
So he's helping both sides of the team.
Kind of.
He's like, oh.
I don't remember if it was the voodoo guy or not. I don't remember where they found that out. That's how they have to do it. But, or they looked it up. I don't remember. So they, like, fucking kill him. They kill the doll. He burns, the doll burns to death.
Yeah.
And, it's all over the reports because people died, like, in this apartment. And the kid's like, I didn't do it. The doll did. And they're like, sure, kid. So they think the kid did it.
Mm-hmm.
And the doll's all burnt up and shit. So then it's the end of the first movie. And then the second movie, the mom gets... I think the mom was still alive. She puts in... I think she's in a mental institution or something. But anyway, the kid... gets put into a foster home because he doesn't have a family anymore.
Yeah.
And the good guy is the company that makes the doll. The good guy takes the doll that quote-unquote killed people, fucking strips off all the burnt stuff and puts new rubber and like faces and like clothing and all this stuff on the doll, which I don't fully understand why.
Yeah.
But they're like, there's some kind of malfunction with this doll. It was telling this kid to kill things, and like it's got bad publicity because no one wants to buy these dolls anymore. So they bring the doll back to life to try to figure out what went wrong with it and like what the malfunction was. Yeah, so then Chucky ends up killing a bunch of people at the factory and gets loose and starts going after the kid again. But everyone thinks this kid's crazy that, oh, this doll is killing people. Yeah, sure, like a doll can kill people.
Mm-hmm.
So they just think he's crazy. And there was a lot more death in this movie. There's a lot more people killed.
I don't think I saw the second one.
And I forgot how the second one ended. I guess I'll find out once I watch the third one.
Oh.
Because I feel like they crunch it or something. They break it up somehow at the end of the second one.
I know.
Because the third one, he's in military school, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know how that one ends.
Yeah.
Because I don't think I saw the second one.
So, yeah, the second one I thought was better than the first one. Like, Child's Play 2 was really good, I thought. I just didn't fully, like, I'm like, oh, how are they going to bring Chucky back? Really? The factory just, like, skins it, puts new stuff on? I'm like, wouldn't it just be easier to make a brand new one? I don't know. Yeah. So, the first Child's Play, I gave it a 6. Second one, I gave it a 6.5.
Oh,
And then I'll watch the other 4 in December, and hopefully I'll finish them all.
I just typed Child's Play 2 ending in Google, and there's a bunch of videos. I'm like, oh, no.
Yeah, that's the thing. Everything is videos now when you search. I'm like, I don't care. I want to read stuff. I want to use up my data.
And that's why Wikipedia is the best.
Yep.
But the cover is, sorry, Jack, Chucky's back, and he's using scissors to cut a Jack in the Box.
Oh, yeah. I wish they had the movie posters on this. That would be cool.
Yeah.
This is all. It just says Child's Play 2.
Oh.
Boring.
Boring indeed.
And they just show pictures from the movies.
And then,
Chucky's back.
So the last movie that I watched, this is what pissed. Okay, here's what happened. Our good friend Brian was able to track down a bunch of, like, DVDs and Blu-rays and stuff like that for me. This is one of the movies he could not find. I couldn't find it at the library. I searched all over Brown County. No one has it. None of my friends have it. So I had to.
Because it's crap.
I had to purchase a 10-pack of Family Movies. I had to buy it, but that's the best value.
I could have rented it.
Yeah. But I paid, like, $7 for a 10-pack of Family Videos. Of Family Movies. Where if I just bought the movie by itself, it would cost, like, $9. So I saved $2 and got 9 more movies.
Yeah, but it's a shit movie.
It is a shit movie, but there's 2 movies on there that I at least and don't feel bad about having. The movie I had to watch was Cop and a Half. Now,
yeah, I kind of spoiled that
once,
thing then, huh?
Whatever. You said Kid and a Half, so that's all right.
Did I say Kid
yeah,
and a Half?
Yeah, you said Kid and a Half.
Whoops.
Burt Reynolds, again, I think this is like the 3rd movie he's been in on this list. Probably 2nd. Anyways, Burt Reynolds is a cop. And this little kid sees him. He's like, I want to be just like him. And so he's always watching fucking, what's that show with the Hawaii Five-O? That movie? That show? He's always watching that and taking down notes on how to be a better cop. So he sees a drug bust happen. And he sees Burt Reynolds being all badass. The kid gets the plate numbers on the car where the cop doesn't. And he ends up following bad guys back to their hideout and witnesses because one of the guys got arrested and he got out right away and like, oh, you must be a snitch because, you know, there's no way the cops let you out that fast unless you gave information. So then the kid watches the drug dealer kill that other drug dealer, like the drug boss kills the drug dealer. So now the kid has information. So he wants, since he loves cops so much, he says, I'll give you information, a quid quo pro, because that's what they said in the fucking episode of goddamn Hawaii Five-O. I'll give you the information if you let me become a cop. So, of course, Burt Reynolds, who hates children, of course, and he's a veteran, and he the last assignment he had, his partner died, all this fucking generic as shit stuff happens. So he's going around with this kid who thinks he's a cop. And, man, it's... Fuck, man. It's everything I remember with that movie is the exact same way as I remember it. Like, oh, he pulls... It's funny because at the very beginning, his fucking principal yells at him, and then he pulls over his principal. He's like, oh, I'm your worst nightmare, an 8-year-old with a badge. And he fucking gives the principal a ticket because it's funny, and he says the exact same lines to him, and that's funny, I guess. Fuck, man. I don't know why I rated this so high, because I apparently wrote down that I gave it a 3.
Three.
It's such a piece of shit
movie. Should be a 2.5. Cop and a half.
Shit.
Kid and a half. That should be a better movie. Kid and a half.
Yeah.
Just so, a half a kid running around.
Like, once again, I can't think of anything that was worth it in the movie. Other than that it was short. Oh, yeah. Nope, that was a different movie. Sorry. Yep, don't know. So that was the last movie of my list for the month.
Okay.
That's the last movie for the month, I guess, actually.
Yeah, I talked all about my movies, unless I forgot to write one down.
I thought you didn't say one. You did two in a row.
Yeah, I did Kid Play 1 and 2. Child's Play 1 and 2 I did at once, because it's easier.
All right, so if you want to... Jesus Christ. If you want to email us and say, hey, we should watch this movie, or hey, I watched this movie and this is what I thought, or, you know, like I had a completely different view on this movie or whatever, or just anything about movies, email me at stuffbyscott@gmail.com. That's stuffbyscott at gmail.com. You know, we'll give you a little shout out and say, yeah, this person recommended this movie. And all that stuff. So, with that, that's a wrap!
That was an end. Good night to you.